Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
And we are recording.
Everyone, welcome back to our podcast, First Generation One of Many. Today we have a special guest. It's another one of our resource episodes, so excited to be able to share some more information with all our listeners, with everyone that tags in today. So once again, we are First Generation One of Many. Our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first-generation students. So again, I cannot do this alone, and you're probably very familiar with my co-host by now, Joshua Woodinghill. Hey, Josh, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, Teresa. Thanks for the wonderful intro one more time. And I was sharing with Teresa in another meeting we had earlier today that we missed out on our podcast planning meeting this week. And it was like, God, there's a part of me missing this week because it's become this wonderful relationship time for us to hang out at least once a week. Sometimes it's 3-4 times a week, depending on what we're doing. But I was like, oh, I really missed something. What's missing from my day? So I'm glad we're back together again.
Yes, and I am glad we're here. And with a special guest. Woo!
Yes, and to go right into another great episode, as we are recording a number of them to provide information about resources at CSU Chico for current faculty, staff, and students, as well as prospective students and colleagues that may come to campus, and other people out there in other campuses also who are working on creating some of the similar type of resources can then reach out to our guests or utilize some of the information they have as well, because Chico State is not the only campus doing things in higher education. Wouldn't that be weird? There was only one campus?
I hope it's all 23 of us, plus more.
Right.
Make the logistics a little easier, but otherwise.
I guess the idea of equity would be very different in that case if you only had one campus. But, you know, we only have 23 in the system. And you can say that laughingly because it is the largest system in the United States as far as, you know, one system of campuses working together. So to jump right into our traditional quote, of course, self-disclosure, I didn't have quotes ready for the day today. And so our guest, Jen McKee, from the College of Engineering, Computer Science, and Construction Management, AKA ECC. She was so wonderful and gracious to provide us with a couple of quotes that she likes and abides by. And after eliminating a few, we came up with two that she said, oh, those two are really good, right? And so the first one is from Edward Bulwer Lytton, and I may have pronounced it correctly, but that's only a 1 in 100 chance, so probably didn't pronounce it correctly, but and I'm not sure who Edward is exactly, but Edward shares with us his quote, good humor is the sunshine of the mind. And of course that is wonderful in these times. I think people are finding humor in different ways, in different reasons, and despite certain situations and circumstances. And it's always been sort of a good message, right, about trying to find humor in things. And especially, I know for me, I've been able to hopefully, at least I feel like I have developed more of a humor about myself or towards myself to be a little bit kinder. That's being, you know, looking and laughing at things I do and laughing at myself for different reasons has been great. Because I do spend a lot of time by myself, like most of us. We are alone a lot in general in life. So laughing with myself has always been helpful and pick me up. And the next one gets a little bit more specifically into then even some of the work that we're doing and how we support students and some ways that are connected to one of the buzzwords or things that has become popular in the last 10 years or so in higher education, extremely of growth mindset. I worked with an EOP, an Education Opportunity Program intern this last 2 weeks to develop a workshop on growth mindset. He presented it yesterday. His name is Tony Zhang, and he did a wonderful job on comparing. And so growth mindset and fixed mindset and really helping students in the workshop to understand where they're at and how they can do some of their own things to move forward while also asking for help. And so this quote comes from Maya Angelou, and it is, if you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. So thanks, Jen, for reminding us about those things, about being fun and laughing, and then also what we can do to be accountable in our own lives.
Yes, awesome. Thank you for that, Josh. And thank you, Jen, for assisting us with those quotes. So we've mentioned your name, but who are you? So it's my pleasure to introduce our guest for today's episode, Jen McKee. So hello, everyone. We're joined by Jen McKee today, and she is the College Advising and Retention Specialist, CARS for short, for the College of Engineering, Computer Science, and Construction Management, also known as ECC. She also coordinates the ECC Student Success Center. She has over 14 years of campus experience and has earned both her bachelor's in social science and master's in political science from CSU Chico. In her free time, she loves to hike Upper Park with her family, curl up with a good book, cook a new recipe, or pretend to have a green thumb in her garden. Hi, Jen. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me. See, the pretend with the green thumb is very, very key.
I should add that to mine, but I couldn't even have a, I don't even have a plant to have as a proof because they're just gone.
And I was wondering, because I love gardening and have things, and this year we have had this wonderful extension of sort of warmth and heat, and I had tomatoes coming off the plants even at Thanksgiving this year.
Yes.
So you say pretend, though, but what do you get in your garden? What did you have in your last garden?
So tomatoes were a big hit. We had a huge successful crop come from Costco, of all places, for our starts. And same, Josh, we finally had to pull them because they just kept growing and growing and growing and growing no matter how much we cut them back. And yet they weren't ripening because they weren't getting enough sun kind of in the afternoon. So we finally had to say, okay, I think we're done with the winter garden and start to prep everything for this next growing season. So cucumbers were a big hit, a lot of herbs.
Great.
And yes, it kind of was a huge project to just get our backyard in order for us to start growing, but we've got excellent soil in our backyard. So I am looking forward to kind of this next season now that we've gone through the first year of trials and tribulations and figured out what worked and what didn't work and how many cucumbers I can possibly eat in a season as well. So tomatoes as well.
Yeah. And the cucumbers went crazy this last year, it seemed like also. Luckily, one of my kids enjoys cucumbers and she would just eat them as I would go out and go, oh, I'm gonna get a cucumber. Wait, that cucumber's gone. Oh, I guess someone ate it. And you know, it seems like we were just picking those things during the summer, all that, but also you only have 2 months. Two months from now, right? In the beginning to middle of March, you're going to want to start getting stuff in there. And I say that every year. And then it's like April 13th. And I'm like, oh, I guess I need to put stuff in the ground because I forgot to. But that's good to see.
Now, seeing how well everything grew, it was like, oh, yes, we need to start earlier. So I'm looking forward to kind of still being in this virtual environment because it does allow for a little bit more of a tending of the garden throughout the day, which has actually been kind of a nice break when I need to get outside to go and tend something in the garden and get me out into nature for a minute and away from my computer screen.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
When you are having computer screen time and you are in your virtual work world, can you tell us a little bit about what your role is that you're doing on campus?
Absolutely. So I have been on campus, as I mentioned, as Teresa mentioned, for a little over 14 years in various aspects. But in the last year, I transitioned to this position, the College Advising and Retention Specialist. And this creation was kind of formed for all of the colleges around campus to provide some better resources and opportunities to connect kind of our academic affairs world and our student affairs world, and really putting student needs at the focus and trying to kind of fill some of the gaps that maybe we have in some of our college and advising experiences throughout campus. So really trying to evolve our advising services and kind of different ways that we can support students, and trying to bring some of those services into, let's be honest, the 21st century. So meeting students where they're at. As the College Advising and Retention Specialist, I also have been fortunate to kind of oversee our ECC Student Success Center. We also call it the ESSC. And this was a center that was created a number of years ago, really designed for first and second year students in our engineering major specifically, to provide some better advising and mentorship and tutoring support. With some additional staffing and some additional funding, we've really been able to expand those services to not only just first and second year students, but really to anybody within our college, as well as all of the 11 majors that fall underneath the College of ECC. So we're trying to kind of build up the support and resources in both the ESSC, so kind of helping coordinate those efforts. Michelle Mittman is another advisor that works in that center that helps with our efforts part-time. But then also having that other hat of the CARS representative, which kind of pulls me in certainly related adventures, but kind of also has me doing some other things outside of the ESSC as well. That should probably answer kind of my role on campus.
You sound like a super, honestly, it sounds like, I'm excited to hear a little bit more too, but it sounds like you're a really essential person, especially when it comes to students within this major, a key resource to be able to know about and have access to as well.
Absolutely. That's what I hope.
Yeah. And it is great because we were able to have Kylie Sharp, right? The CARS from the Humanities and Fine Arts on already. And then we did get to speak with the Business Student Advising Services. A couple of advisors came from there, Jen Duggan and Nicole Gager. And so it's sort of this thing, and I was talking to all the CARS, were able to actually join in a student training that I put together over the winter break. And it was fun because I have this thing I tell my kids when they go ride their bikes to leave, and I go, hey, remember, CARS are real. And now I was joking like, hey, on campus, hey, students, CARS are real, remember, and they're here to support you and they're doing great things. So it was really fun. And so the CARS we can see, if you've listened to in a previous episode, CARS have a very similar focus of their work. But can you give us maybe a couple of specifics of what your program does to support the students? Because I think we were going to ask and talk about like who utilizes your services, but yeah. I think you've kind of touched on that a little bit. It's all the students who are taking courses within ECC, not just majors, but anybody taking a course there. So then what is it that you actually provide them?
Absolutely. So kind of in the framework of the ESSC, we are really trying to develop some one-stop shop resources within our center to support students as they connect potentially to faculty advisors within our colleges, if they're trying to navigate their major, if maybe they don't know who to connect to maybe connect their coursework to careers, we can kind of help have those conversations about kind of what are you learning in the classrooms? How can we translate that and get them connected to things like career services? We also can really do some targeted and intrusive advising where we might get referrals from a faculty member or another, maybe a teacher that's teaching a GE class for one of our majors in the College of ECC. And we can really follow up and see how can we best engage that student back into maybe their classes, or perhaps it's getting them connected to resources like, you know, maybe let's talk about dropping a class or a planned educational leave, or really kind of trying to, again, provide that one-stop shop environment so that we can really holistically advise students and get them connected to the right resources or services for our majors within the College of ECC. So our services certainly can be utilized by the students in our major, and that's really kind of our primary focus, but certainly having now this CARS representative in each college, we can now provide a little bit better referrals to other colleges or majors or departments to get students connected to a real person instead of just, oh yeah, you do this and fill out this form and good luck. It's really providing that personalized referral and that follow-up and really making sure, you know, as well that students are getting connected to the right people. That's often what I found in this last year of working in this role is a lot of times students don't even know where to ask or where to go. And so providing this ESSC center as a little bit of a more approachable office and support system sometimes can really be that avenue for a student to get the correct question or get their answer. We do have faculty advisors in the College of ECC, as well as we do run mandatory advising in every spring semester for students in our major. But oftentimes students need to talk about, you know, advising and what should I take in my schedule and how do I graduate in the timeframe that I want? What are the requirements that I have left? What can I take over the summer? Some really more complicated, you know, hey, I want to study abroad or I want to pursue a double major or I don't know if this is the major for me. A lot of these questions can be really stressful and produce some anxieties in students. And oftentimes they will try and reach out to a faculty member who is not only an advisor, but is teaching as well and has a lot of other things on their plate and may not be the best equipped to have some of those conversations if they don't necessarily know all of the support or resources or majors on campus. So we're trying to kind of support faculty advisors in that way to provide a little bit better resource for kind of more students that need that more holistic advising approach, but also really provide that kind of open access and, you know, a little less intimidating person to kind of come and utilize the services. We will run tutoring out of the ESSC. We right now are trying to coordinate how we're going to do that, but we hope to centralize our tutoring efforts within our College of ECC through the ESSC. And right now we're really just kind of trying to focus on how do we better support the advising initiatives and resources that are happening within the college, and then certainly helping faculty be better equipped with some of the tools and resources that we're using on campus as well.
Perfect. And if we have some of those students who kind of fall under one of the situations or have those questions that you just mentioned, what would be your suggestion for how can they access your services, or what would be the best first step just to get in touch with someone to ask?
Absolutely. So we are certainly, you know, we'd ideally like to be on campus. We're still operating in this virtual environment. So students can always schedule Zoom appointments to meet with us. We do a lot of advising, even over email, as well as phone. The campus is also piloting a communication tool called Pronto, which is coordinating with Blackboard Learn, which is really awesome. So we're looking to expand those efforts where we can really kind of meet students where they're at, whether it's, you know, texting to get an answer. We're going to try and roll something like that out so that students, when they have a quick question, can maybe text an advisor or a peer or a student leader that we have kind of in the ESSC. Traditionally, though, Zoom tends to be a popular option, as well as kind of advising emails tend to be popular with students as they're kind of on the go. And what's nice is they can schedule those appointments right off of our ESSC homepage. So right off the ESSC homepage, which I'm sure we'll share the link in these podcasts, but right off the homepage, there is both myself and Michelle's picture, as well as a link directly to our schedule that's always up to date and really integrated with our Outlook calendars. So students can certainly schedule appointments that way and can help connect with us.
Oh, that's gosh, great. That is awesome. And also, did you see me laughing when you said that? You want to know why I'm laughing? And it's nothing. It was with you. And in fact, that I was in the middle of texting students through Pronto on my phone because I have a class that meets at 12:30. And I heard back from some people on information on getting your vaccine that it might be a 30-minute process. And mine is at noon during this time of our recording today. And luckily, it's just right around the corner from where I'm at. But I was like, oh, students, I have this thing. And all of a sudden, boom, 16 people. Oh, no problem. Go ahead. We're going to start class 10 minutes late. And I'll let you know when I'm back in. They're like, oh, awesome. All right. Thank you. So then pronto, funny, like technology user errors. I set up pronto. I'm telling students, use pronto. This is going to be awesome for us. Right. And then a whole week and a half went by and I thought, wow, nobody's using pronto. I sent some messages out, but nothing was coming back. And I went, that's weird. It's supposed to give me notification or whatever. And then I went, oh, maybe I should check and see if notifications are turned on for pronto. Of course, they were turned off. And there was, and then there was, as I went into it, I'm like, oh, look, they had been sending each other back and forth messages the whole week and a half. And there was over 65 messages of just a bunch of them texting back and forth with questions and answering questions and helping each other with what they were doing. And then this, the Sunday prior to us recording right now, I woke up, it was Sunday morning and it was about, 8 o'clock, and a student had sent me a pronto question about class. And before I could even text back, three other students were texting in with answers of where to go find the assignment inside of Blackboard, how to submit it, what questions to answer for their review questions they were going to be talking about. And then by the next hour and a half goes by, there was over 27 students who had chimed in with different questions and thoughts. And so it was amazing what pronto is already doing and can do for us as instructors and advisors and staff, and in connecting the students also. And then I always tell them, do it, because I used to use a different app, the Remind app, and yeah. I would send out things like I'm awake. It's 12:30. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm just gonna text students that, hey, just thinking about you, because students, a lot of them are awake at that time. They tell me, yep. And when they send me emails, it says 2:35 a.m. and submitting submitting assignments 2 days before they're due, but it's at 1 o'clock in the morning. Someone is up. Yep. So I sent one about. Then I sent one a couple of nights ago around midnight. Hey, just thinking about you all, looking forward to class and what you have to say about our questions and our reading on diversity and equity and inclusion. And a few students like, oh, all right, I'm awake now too. What are you doing? So it's been a great, it is wonderful.
Love it. And I have to say, working virtual has been a really interesting experience because I think we fell into the, I have to work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, because that's standard business hours. And yet the second we went virtual, it was understanding that most students do not operate in that Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So it's been really freeing, I think, as me in my professional life to really meet students where they're at. I had a kid at home that I was trying to manage school for her while trying to, maintain a full-time work schedule. And that often meant getting on the computer at 8 p.m. after she went home and working until midnight or 1 a.m. But to be honest, I would sometimes send out emails that late. Sometimes I'd use the delay email send, nice little feature of Outlook. But to be honest, I got a lot of responses at 11 o'clock at night because, it's very true that students are often doing, doing things in the evenings, and having pronto or a tool like that. I know a lot of our students use Discord as well. But having a tool where peers can help peers and, a little bit more of an informal network has been really an eye-opening experience. But yes, we need this type of technology in the world that we live in that are looking for kind of immediate results. You want students to get correct information kind of in the hours that they need those answers. And oftentimes, if you can't give a response kind of right away in the time that they need it, the moment has passed. Is a student really going to wait until 8 a.m. to send an email? No, they're not. They're going to send it when they need that answer. And certainly the more that we can respond and be that person that can provide that resource on the other side is absolutely true. I mean, I found myself turning a little bit more into a college student these days of, 8 to 5 isn't as conducive to how I work. I work better at night. I've always been more of a night person. I think I just forced myself to be a morning person for the last 15 years. So it's been really nice to kind of, to meet students where they're at and for me to also feel really productive as a professional staff member in the peak hours that work best for me. So pronto has been a really awesome thing. And I'm really looking forward to exploring that more because I think it's a tool that students use use. And they're used to that kind of the social aspect that comes from class. And I think it provides a way for students to be able to get over those awkward, hey, Zoom, do you want to set up a a study session.
Right.
It's hard to do in a Zoom session. So right. Pronto provides a little bit more of that informality, but still allows some really great resources to get shared between students and faculty and staff and so on and so forth. So love to hear that you're using it. And we are really excited in ECC to incorporate that a lot more into not only our classes, but even, you know, getting connected to advising resources and other resources on campus.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've been joking, and I even told class last week when I was teaching the course, and I said, you know, if we could all meet like from 10 o'clock to midnight, I'd move class to then, you know, that's my, those are some of my peak hours. You know, I've just always been that way. And even working 8 to 5 in those days, I would come home, do things with the family for 3-4 hours. And then they usually end up going to bed and getting tired. And I'm thinking around, I'm looking around going, 9:30, 10:30, I'm ready, let's go. And then I would just get going on other things. So it is fun and great. So that leads us sort of into wrapping up the episode. We just had an unsolicited, you know, recommendation of really utilize Pronto. And if you're, you know, if your campus has it, look into how you can implement that for your classes. But we have now other recommendations. So Jen, what is your recommendation for today? Because we were laughing and talking about it a little bit earlier, so this is great.
Yeah, so one of, I think, for me personally, has been a really great outlet is the app you can find on any of the, you know, Apple stores or whatever, Marco Polo, which a group of four girlfriends that I actually met in college working for summer orientation. Shoot, it's almost been 20 years ago. But we reconnected through Marco Polo. And what Marco Polo is it's essentially a way that you can leave video voicemails, for lack of a better, better explanation of what it is. But it's really nice that the four of us specifically have been able to kind of see more of the day-to-day of our lives. We've really been able to see, we've been able to talk about some really, things that are affecting us. You know, how is parenting in COVID? My friend's husband's a police officer. So what does the Black Lives Movement look like? What is being a police officer in this time? It was really interesting to be going through these very important social conversations and having an outlet with women that I really respect and getting those various perspectives and really getting to see more of the day-to-day of our lives and be able to share that in a time frame that's conducive to us. Kind of joking, I'm a night person. So I would be often catching up on my, 15 Marco Polos from the day of a conversation. And then I would chime in, but it's been really awesome to connect with them more. And who would have thought that being virtual actually allowed us to connect a little bit more on the day-to-day basis. And it's been a really awesome way for myself to communicate with my mom, who lives in Costa Rica. She's been able to leave some really awesome kind of Marco Polos or these videos for my daughter to, teach her some basic fundamentals of Spanish or to show where she is on the beach. So it's been really awesome to have not only somebody's voice to carry through this time, but somebody's face and their facial expressions. And just to, I watched a friend basically be pregnant and welcome a baby girl in that time. And it's really fun to see that in more of the day-to-day. So I highly recommend Marco Polo as a great way to connect with other people and connect with your friends, more than just a text and more than just a phone call. It's providing kind of that video and that love and support from afar. And I'm so incredibly thankful that my friend turned us on to that back in March and that we've really been able to keep up with it this whole year.
That's great. I love that too, what you shared. And I think it really shows this cross-generational use of technology, because I only learned about it because of my 10-year-old daughter at the time when we first got sent home at spring break last year. And within a day, her and her friends were like, we got to get Marco Polo set up. We're going to get Marco Polo set up. And parents were going around, Marco, Polo, Marco, Polo. And they're like, they're asking us, what are you doing? You're so weird. And then we explained the game to them. And then they said, oh, okay. But anyway, it's been great in that sense. And one thing on Marco Polo that's really, really fun is also all the different filters. So you can change your voice. You can make yourself sound different ways. You can have some of the visual things. You can add icons and emojis and things. So it is really a fun app. Definitely. Thanks for sharing that one. I was going to share another one since one of our quotes was about humor and laughter. And if you're not familiar with Anthony Anderson, He's an actor and he is on the show Black-ish, but in the last couple of years or so now, maybe even 3 or 4 years, he's been the host of the show. So my recommendation is to watch To Tell the Truth. If you're not familiar with To Tell the Truth, it's been around since the 60s, but there's a group of people that come on and three different people come on stage and they say, I am a shark hunter. And the next person says, I am a shark hunter. And so all three of them say it. And then the celebrities on the show, there's like three or four, and they're usually funny and comical, and they ask questions to try and figure out who the real shark hunter is. And then after a round of questions with like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 questions, then they vote on who it is. And then they reveal, will the real shark hunter please stand up, you know? So, but Anthony Anderson is funny on the show. And to go along with this generational use of technology and just connection of talking about parents and kids, his mom is on the show with him as a co-host. And she kind of sits off at the front of the stage in her chair, and she chimes in every now and then and has comical quotes and phrases. But what they did in the last season, they created a statue of her, and it's a bust of, and her name, they call her Mama on the show, but her name is Doris. And so they give out the award to the celebrity who gets all of the answers right during the show, and they get to take home their own Doris, and they take it home with them. So that's a great show. There's a lot of laughing. And some interesting things that people do as far as who are on the show, of different like sort of intricate or eccentric type professions or hobbies or things like that. So I recommend that show. And there are, like I said, there are episodes from the 60s you can find on YouTube if you want to look back to that. But I'll have to say, I wasn't alive in the 60s, so they're not as funny to me. But anyway. Teresa, do you have any recommendations for today?
You know, I don't today, nothing specific, but I will just always suggest, as I always do to our listeners, to make sure you do any small little thing within your day to make you happy, make you feel good, and don't put too much pressure on yourselves to be productive either, and just make sure that you're also taking time for yourself. What that looks like is definitely up to you. There's no blueprint for that, so. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, with that, listeners, we really appreciate you tuning in today. Super excited for having had this opportunity to get to meet Jennifer McKee, again, the ECC advisor. So if you have any questions, definitely recommend that you contact them, her team, contact her, visit their website. The information is going to be in the show notes, so you have easy access to it. You could also look up the ECC on the homepage, the Chico State website, if you want to get in contact with someone or start somewhere. And again, thank you so much, Jen and Josh, for your time today. And I hope this resource our listeners find really beneficial, and I'm sure they will.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.